needing and desiring divine help, I can but venture with the word of God that you will find in the chapter that we've read together in Mark chapter 4 and reading verse 40. Mark chapter 4 and reading verse 40. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Oh, how solemnly true the word of God is that says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And without faith, everything is sin. What a solemn thought that is for any one of us here tonight as we venture to the Word of God. Now, I'm sure that all of you here tonight will know the meaning of a question mark. And if you have your Bibles open and you look at this 40th verse, you will see that there are two question marks that surround the Word of God in this verse. The first question mark follows the first part of verse 40. And oh, I do hope that we may all be made aware this evening that the Lord is speaking to us. I would hope that we might be favored in this and that the Lord would speak to every one of you that have come to this service. And he said unto them, the Lord is speaking, oh, that we may know it and feel it, why are ye so fearful? And then, how is it that ye have no faith? And of course, as I have said, there are two question marks, and that means that there is the need for an answer. Well, the Lord alone knows how any of you may have come to this evening service. Even in a natural sense, poor sinners born into this world have their fears. That will soon be seen and known even in the life of a tiny baby. Parents will soon be aware if their babies, their children, are fearful. That will soon be made manifest. And it is so even in a natural sense. But I would add this thought. If we really fear God, we shall not be strangers to having our fear. And what a very real thing that is for any one of us. And there are times, are there not, when we may be filled with fear about one thing or another in our lives. And yet, the Word of God we know is full of fear nots. And my mind just goes back to the past Lord's Day morning. And I had to venture with, as you may remember, when God's servant Eli, under tremendous pressure, those of us here tonight that are parents, and any of us, of course, that he knew very well that his two sons were going to die because of their sins. He had been warned, he had been told, and yet, when Samuel was quickened into life, and as I understand it, given his first sermon to deliver, and he was very fearful, as I believe I said on Sunday morning. He was so fearful, he feared to show Eli the vision. And as I believe I may have said, that is still how God's servants have to venture with the word of God. And there are times when they are truly fearful to announce their text. And yet, what grace was given to Eli. And he was enabled to say, and said it from his heart. And let me read it to you. One of the things that I do not wish to do is to misquote the word of God, because it is God's word. But you may remember that I read this to you on Sunday morning. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Well, wouldn't it be right for me to say that the Lord gave him precious faith to be able to say it under the burden and the pressure that he was then under? Well, this evening, I believe, I trust, that the Lord has laid this word upon my heart to come with. Well, the Lord alone knows how any of you may have come this evening. And that will, of course, include the dear children and young people. And I know this, that yes, you have your fears. What fears can arise in the hearts of little children, in the hearts of children, in all kinds of ways, and often regarding their life at school, in their studies, and all that follows them, and sometimes they have fears about even those that they may hope are their friends, even in a natural way. And yet this goes on. But if we possess spiritual life, we shall know what real heartfelt fear is. We shall know it, of course, at times because of our sins and the plague of our own hearts. And we shall know it regarding matters in our life. We shall know it regarding our providential power. We shall know it in many different ways. Well, I do not know, but the Lord knows if any of you have come here tonight with some particular fear. That, of course, can happen when we have the need to perhaps see our doctor. Or even it may go further to see a consultant. And we may be faced with being told that we have this or that disease or whatever it may be in our bodies. And how fearful we can be. We can be very fearful about these things. And of course, what a very real fear to a child of God is the solemn reality of death. A solemn reality can be, and often is, the fear of death. But what will be an even greater fear regarding, yes, the reality of death, but if you possess spiritual life, you will certainly have your fears in respect to what one hymn writer has penned. How shall I stand the trying day? And this does become a very real fear, but linked with it, there will be a very real exercise created in our hearts regarding it. How stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Really, you know, that will sum up the reality of God-given exercise. And it can be known in the hearts of a tiny child. It can be known in the hearts of children, young people. And yes, that will continue right through to the very end of our life. Well, I'm having to venture then like this. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? You know, sometimes we can be almost overwhelmed with fear. You may have them tonight. You may be with it tonight. And you may literally tremble regarding whatever it is that the Lord has laid upon you. And it's a mercy if he has. It's a great mercy. You know, one of the first real exercises that I knew when I believed the Lord had called me by his grace, quickened my soul into life, one of my greatest fears was, how are matters relating to my immortal soul? And I lived under it. And the Lord saw fit that I should live under the solemn reality of death and eternity and my own never dying. And I'll explain what I mean. It was in relation to the solemn work of the ministry. I may have said it here before, but my first remembrance regarding the solemn work of the ministry was made known to me when our first baby was born, our eldest son. And it came to a certain Sunday evening, and I said to my wife, would she mind if I went out for a walk? And as I was walking down Tenterden High Street, I came where the old fire station used to be, and it was as though a voice said to me, and it was very, very real. And it was this was, and I believe it was the voice of God, that's the only way I can explain it, that said to me, regarding this burden that lay upon me, and the voice said this, the Lord is either preparing you for your end, or else for the ministry. And that was the first intimation I had I was 24 years old. And my response to it, because of how the Lord was dealing with me, my response to it was, Lord, I believe I'm being prepared for my end. And I lived under it and walked in it. And I used to think we'd only been married just over a year. And I honestly used to think, my wife won't have me very long. I never, of course, told her that. But that's how the Lord dealt with me in that matter. And of course, it brought with it this burden about my soul. Again, I repeat those words. How stands the case? My soul with thee. For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? You know, if you think about it, you dear people here tonight, as the Lord brought you there, that one particular burden. You know how the Lord's servant came with his word last evening regarding that one harlot, as she was spoken of, Rahab the harlot. And you remember, perhaps the Lord would just move me. I'd no thought that I would even say this or anything else that I've said, really. But you may remember, and perhaps the Lord might use even this tonight, a reminder of what you heard last evening. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And yes, I'm sure that scarlet line it speaks of, as the Lord's servant said last evening, regarding the atoning blood of Jesus. Well, she bound. There, you see, was a matter for her of life or death, that scarlet line. And she bound it in her window, and there it was before her. And how she would have watched it during that time before Lord's people, when they came and Jericho was to be taken. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And I can tell you this, that in our fallen, sinful, natural hearts, we don't possess faith. We don't possess any. We don't have any. Because faith is the gift of God. And salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I've often said that if that were so, heaven would be full of boasting sinners. We certainly don't have anything to boast about in any way. And the Lord will deal with us so that we don't have any confidence. Self-confidence will be stripped away from us in one way or another. Now I want to venture to begin as this subject does begin here in this chapter, and that begins in verse 35. This is where it begins, and this is how I must venture a little to begin with. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Well then, this journey began with Jesus. It began with his own divine command. They didn't begin this journey on their own. And the same day, after all that had transpired, and after all that the Lord had been preaching to them, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Well, for any of you then that are here tonight, and the Lord knows what your fears may be, But do you have the witness that it began with Jesus? Of course, it can relate to things in providence. Providence and grace are bound together by God. And any of you here tonight, and you, whatever your fear may be, and you will know what it is, but was the Lord in the beginning of all this for you? Do you humbly believe that you were directed by the Lord in it? Can any of you believe that you did not begin this yourself? Of course, it can relate to many things. And it can relate to providential matters. But you know, we're only really safe if whatever step we may take in our life, whether in providence or in grace, we're only safe if it begins with the Lord. And it begins with prayer. And anything that does begin with prayer, I can tell you, will end in praise. And so it began with the Lord. And can you humbly believe that whatever it is for you, and yes, you were led by the Lord himself in whatever it might be, and you ventured into it, it became a venture of faith to you. And you trembled, and there are some steps that we are compelled to take in our lives, and we do tremble into them. Of course, it can be, and it's a mercy when it is so in married life. And when I use this way of speaking that most of you will understand, you think of beginning a courtship. When a young man, if that is as it is, whatever age, but a young man, and if he begins to court a young lady, that's not always like this, but it's a mercy when it began with prayer, and it's even a greater mercy when two young people, or those older too, but it's a mercy when they have this witness between them and with them, that the Lord brought them together. And yet, there will always be the fears. Oh yes, there will be the fears, even in courting. And of course, in other ways regarding employment. And, you know, and what a mercy when anyone is directed by the Lord into employment. And yet, there will still be the fears as you venture, and when it is a venture of faith, you will still have your fears. And of course, it can be in many other ways. Now, during the day, my mind has been taken back to how I first came here to preach. When the Lord did begin to make a way for this poor sinner to go forth into the solemn work of the ministry, and I told you how it began that Sunday evening, and I was as though, and I believe it was, I know it was, the Lord's voice was speaking to me. The Lord is either, that's how it came, the Lord is either preparing you for your end or else for the ministry. And I'd had no thought. I'd been baptized the year before in 53. I'd had no thought whatsoever about preaching. Some of the Lord's servants, they even enter into making an open profession with that burden already upon them, but it wasn't like that with me. But that's how the Lord began it, and it went on for 11 years before the Lord, I know and believe that he brought it to pass. Well, as letters began to come through our door, we didn't have a telephone in those days, and that was the way that it began. Letters began to come through our postbox. And I had this letter from dear Mrs. Pepler, who was the correspondent for you here, and I had this letter arrive from her. And because I had lived in my small corner in my life and grew up, one of my many fears in going out into the ministry was travel, going about. I'd hardly travelled anywhere, and so I was very fearful. Well, this came to my mind today, and so I ventured just to express it. She wrote to me, and she sent me three dates: March, October, November. And in my simplicity and with my fears, I ventured to give that one date in March. Well, I received another letter from her. Would I come the other two? And that's how it began. And one of those dates was the third Lord's Day in October, as I was with you yesterday morning. But what has also been with me in this is what follows in this account here. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, dear friends, I know the Lord opened one of my burdens in going out into the ministry was that the Lord would open doors. And I know that he opened the door for me to come here. And I had this thought too. And the Lord also opened the door in a particular way for me to go to Grove, Wantage, and to South Morton. And I've had this thought today, you know. And a very real thought it's been. Is the dear friends here, I'm going to give them names, dear Mr. and Mrs. Stanley Cooper. Over at Grove, dear Mr. and Mrs. John Tugwell. Over at South Morton, dear Mr. and Mrs. John Pocock. And all three of them, the Lord used them. And you'll say, well, why? How can you convey that to us from these words? Well, I'll tell you why. And it was this. And verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Do you know, I believe I can say that's how I first ever ventured here. They took him even as he was in the ship. And through the mercy of God, I learned and lived to prove it. But then there's something else here that has arrested my mind and heart. Verse 36, how does it end? And there were also with him other little ships. Now I've mentioned those three particular dear ones. And you see, the point was this. In venturing here, and in, of course, other chapels, but there was something particular about here and South Morton and Grove Wantage. There was always something special about it to me, and the Lord knows why, and all that transpired. But, and there were also with him other little ships. And those three couples that I mentioned, and of course others, other dear ones here, and you know, they were with me in it. They were with me in my coming. And that has gone on as the Lord has granted it throughout the years. And yet I'm made very aware that my days on earth grow less. But I've come with that a little testimony, really, tonight, here, and hope in some way the Lord will use it, as I know he can. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was. And you know, when God's servants venture out into the ministry, this is their burden. And you may remember that Jesus, if we read of Jesus, that he sent them two and two into every place where he himself would come. Now I know that's been fulfilled here, and of course elsewhere. But I know it has been. And so, in a way, I've come to acknowledge it. To acknowledge it. And we need grace to acknowledge what the Lord has done. And that's the vital thing. Because what Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build, his word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. And I look back tonight over the years that are now gone, and you know, I know it's been so, and there are those here tonight that are in it as well. And there were also with him other little ships. And I thank the Lord for it. And I thank the Lord for the love, the support, the prayers, the exercise, the travail that has gone with it. Now, here they were then. And the Lord knows how it may be with any of you. Yes, they commenced this journey because the Lord had directed them. And they had this support. That's how I felt it today. And there were also with him other little ships. But there was this uniting together. And that's the channel through which the Lord does still grant blessing. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill his word. When each can hear a brother's sigh and with him bear a part. When sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart. And how good when it is so. How good when it is, when brethren dwell together in unity. And even greater blessing when the Lord maintains it, continues it, even if it should be his will to the very end of our lives. Now, yes, it all began with the Lord, but what happens? Well, and there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You think of it. Wouldn't have been that big a ship, would it? But if you think of a ship, and any of you that have had any experience with it in going on the sea, whatever, but if you think of it, the ship was now full. It was now full. And yet, Jesus was with them. This is a very vital point in this subject. You think of it, the Lord had commanded them, let us pass over unto the other side. And friends, you'll find this in your life. Your path won't be easy. I think the Lord's servant mentioned this last evening. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We cannot expect to be without tribulation. And you know, when we're made aware of it, we know that we need it. We need tribulation. We need the Lord to use things in our life to bring us to his feet, to bring us to him alone. And you may be there tonight in your path. You may be feelingly alone. You've had to prove you get no help from anyone. You may have tried to get it, but you may have had to prove the Lord sees to it that you don't get any help from man, when all the help of man proves vain, and sometimes it does, then to have recourse to God and pour a prayer in time of need, this is to find a friend indeed. Now that's the Lord's way. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. But, I hope this may be a word for someone here tonight, but dear friend, you didn't begin this yourself. You were directed into it. Again, whether you're in providence or in grace, well, the Lord was there. Have you ever noticed what we read about it, and what we read about it tonight? And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You know, sometimes we are filled with fear, and we really wonder where the scene will end. And sometimes we tremble regarding our tomorrows. We have our tomorrows. And the Lord sees to it sometimes that we do have our tomorrows. You may have a tomorrow tonight, and the Lord knows what it is. But the point is, you didn't begin on your own. Now, where was Jesus? And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, they had the eternal Son of God with them. You know, if we are favored to have the eternal Son of God with us, we can't have any better company. We can't have a better friend. We can't have a better helper. And so Jesus was not filled with fear. He was indeed and still is the eternal Son of God. But with him it was peace. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. In a sense, he was asleep on a pillow. He was there. But up until then, he was silent. It's like that sometimes with us. And the Lord sees to it that he will be silent until his time comes, until he will speak. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, there's something very, very sacred here. And he arose. Do you feel to need him to do that for you tonight? Do you have a tomorrow? Do you have things in front of you that you may dread? Do you have things in front of you and you may be wondering where the scene will end? Well, here then is Jesus. And I wonder how many of us here tonight have known a little of this. I can tell you that I have. I was favoured to know it again last Saturday at noon when standing in the pulpit in Ebenezer Chapel Broad Oak to conduct that funeral service. And the Lord calmed my mind. He calmed my mind and granted me help, which he has done many, many times over the years. I'm no stranger to this, but I am no stranger to the storms raging. I'm no stranger to troubles arising. And I'm no stranger to being full of fear sometimes, wondering where the scene will end. Well, whatever it may be for you, whatever may lie in front of you, even if it is tomorrow. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Have you ever known it? Have you ever known a little of it? You will if you've been favoured to receive it, and you will know the effect of it when your mind is completely calmed and you're released and delivered for however long it may be, but you're released and you're delivered from fear. And you're enabled then to fall into the Lord's hand. And how precious when we can. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Those of you that have known it, and I'm sure there are those here that have. And when you've been filled with wonder and amazement at the help you received, the strength you've been given, there are fathers and mothers here tonight, and those of you that have known a little. Now, sometimes when in a family, and sometimes it can be that all the children, and even father and mother, they may all be ill. And what a real thing that is. And yet what a mercy to be favoured. To know something of those wonderful words, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Well, any of you here tonight that have known something of this, in whatever way it may have been, and you've been amazed, you've been filled with wonder, that ever the Lord should so help you, so calm your mind, so deliver you. I can at least say this, that on the morning when the day that I was to have triple heart bypass surgery, and I can remember, at least I can remember this, going down to the theatre without fear. Doesn't mean to say I wasn't inwardly trembling, wondering what might happen. But you know, there's something wonderful in any of you that have had a few moments of it. And when really it's meant this for you, you've fallen into the Lord's hands. Completely. You've fallen into his hands. And there's been a great calm. Because the Lord has said, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Well, then we come to the verse that I've read as a text. And if we are enabled tonight to look back a little, and I hope we will be, you know, I really have wondered what the Lord's will was. And I looked and I thought of another word I might have ventured with it tonight. I could have done in a sense, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And you'll understand that word, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and made you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And I had also wondered, this is how it's been with me today, particularly this afternoon, and I might well have ventured to that word that I've mentioned, and thou shalt remember. And I've done a lot of remembering today, particularly about being allowed to come here. But I could have read this as a text tonight. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee And what is it all for? Well, it's this, to do thee good at thy latter end. Oh, if we're favoured like that when we come to die, to do thee good at thy latter end. Well, I must leave it with you. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The Lord knew they didn't have any. That is one of his precious gifts, one of those. Yes, there are the good gifts and there are the perfect gifts. And I believe faith is one of the perfect gifts that cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then the final word was this, here they were brought into the very dust, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They were filled with awe. You know, I've had this thought, I've had many thoughts today, but, you know, there have been occasions here when God's word has been fulfilled for me and for those that have gathered here with me. When Jacob said, at Bethel, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I've known a little of it here in this pulpit. I have. And I say it to the glory of God. Amen.